This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today and Unwired LA. We're about to speak to Thera Bradshaw, who's the general manager of the City of Los Angeles' ITA, the Information Technology Agency. Welcome to California Politics Today and Unwired LA.
Thank you very much, Mark. I'm pleased to be here.
Could you get us started by telling us essentially what ITA does within the city government of Los Angeles?
The Information Technology Agency is actually large and diverse. The agency provides both internal as well as external services to the public. Internally, we support all of the infrastructure for public safety and networks for our computers and telephony and all of those kinds of technology tools and information systems that allow the city to do their job. On the external public services, we also have the responsibility for 311, one call to City Hall, along with the lacity.org, the webpage, which has got very valuable information about the City of Los Angeles. And we have the Cable Franchise Division, along with LA City View Channel 35, which shows your government at work.
So you're almost as big as Viacom yourself there, aren't
you? Well, not quite, okay. but we are a very diverse organization.
Okay. Now, what role did the ITA in general and you in particular have in the formulation of the new fast and easy future of Wi-Fi and beyond in Los Angeles report that was issued yesterday by the panel that was appointed by Mayor Hahn to look into the question of Wi-Fi for Los Angeles?
Well, I served on the panel. I was one of the members appointed to the advisory panel and chaired, I was subcommittee chair of the what's the government's role to be?
Okay, and what particular substantive point of view did you bring to those questions? What did you pursue on the panel as your bottom line issues that you wanted to see included in the final report?
Well, the mayor gave us a pretty clear direction in terms of getting us started. It was really looking at convening this panel of experts to find a way for Los Angeles to be on the leading edge of broadband communications capabilities and easy access, both for economic development as well as allowing our government to be more efficient in utilization of broadband capabilities and technology, and also bridging the digital divide. So we all neighborhoods within the City of Los Angeles would enjoy convenient and affordable broadband access to the Internet.
Okay, let me try to just sort of summarize that. The three points that seem to come up over and over again are economic development, internal use by the city, and bridging the digital divide. Are those the three main goals that the mayor set out for the project?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, in the report that was issued yesterday, how are those three goals addressed? What kind of specific points does the report make about how Wi-Fi and other wireless rollout could help economic development, internal use by the city, and bridging the digital divide?
The report really raises some policy decisions for the mayor and the council. And I think the fundamental recommendation that comes out of this report is that the mayor and council pursue a coordinated plan that's phased in over 5 years and leverages the existing communications infrastructure to build and enhance broadband networks that really take advantage of both licensed and unlicensed wireless Wi-Fi spectrum.
And how does that, what does that mean in terms of what's been recommended that the city do by way of providing those services, if it does?
Well, under the plan, it is suggested in the report that we the city encourage the adoption of public-private partnerships in a business model that brings together government and industry. In other words, we don't need to recreate things that are already there,
right,
but we need to partner with those businesses.
Okay.
The second part that I think is important and needs to be really underway soon is conducting a citywide broadband survey that will really show us where there are gaps, if there are any gaps, and in availability, both for residences and businesses.
Okay. I just started doing that survey while I was waiting to talk to you this morning. I called Verizon. They said 80% of their customers in the state have access to DSL. They said they wouldn't break out the figures for the city of L.A. On proprietary grounds, and that they don't serve many people in the city of L.A., that most of that's done by SBC. So I called SBC's public relations agency, which by, I don't know, a bizarre coincidence turns out to be Fleischman Hillard, and asked them, left a message there to try to find out what they're doing. Are you saying that the report was issued before the people doing it knew exactly what the availability of broadband services already are for people in the city?
Well, we did a study as best we could to identify currently where hotspots are.
Right.
And there's actually, contained within the report, there's actually a map that shows the distribution today.
These are Starbucks and other such Wi-Fi hotspots?
Yes. There's public areas as well as private business areas, and yes, in some cases it's Starbucks. But generally, the map really shows in our research, it was limited. This was a fairly high level report to raise policy discussion points and then set, of course, a plan. So, and it was done quickly. I think we began actually in January, and the report was to be to the mayor by this month, and we achieved that goal. So it wasn't an intense study, and that's why doing this a broader survey will really benefit in terms of identifying true gaps. This shows where the spots are, but there may be some areas that businesses are really interested in having Wi-Fi, and we didn't get into that depth.
Okay, let me ask this. The while it's kind of exotic and interesting for people to be able to write their screenplays at Starbucks or in the park or wherever,
sure.
Most of the internet computing that's done by people is done either in their homes or at their businesses, and certainly not in their cars while they're driving, and certainly really not on a large scale for people who are or out and about who need to do it. And I'm wondering whether there isn't already adequate provision for people at businesses, people in their homes, to get broadband either through cable modems or DSL already.
Well, I think you're right. I think people are predominantly, when you're using wireless communications and broadband capabilities, whether it's through DSL or Wi-Fi, you're generally stationary.
Right.
And but I don't necessarily know that that's totally accurate, in that there are a lot of people in Los Angeles. We're a large city. People are commuting
right
via trains and buses.
Right.
And that's downtime, and it could be productive if there was wireless transmission capability.
Oh, are you saying that it would be a good idea to have Wi-Fi in trains and buses?
We're mobile and we're global. And I think when people are in stationary locations, there's a lot of benefit to being able to be productive in those locations as well. So, I am.
Is there a consideration or a view in this report that Wi-Fi ought to be used as a primary means of providing residential broadband to people, say, across the million, the 1.4 million people in the San Fernando Valley, or the rest of the other 2.4 million people in the city, that they ought to be able to have Wi-Fi in their homes delivered through some sort of municipal broadband infrastructure?
What the report says is that we should be providing all city residents, those who are doing business with the city, or those who live here, fast and easy access to the net in municipal facilities.
Right.
As well as to bridge the digital divide, that does go into neighborhoods and homes, and
but through Wi-Fi,
right?
What I guess I'm trying to find out is, can't most of the people in LA already, if they want to and can afford it, sign up for DSL or cable modems or both or either and get broadband to their home now?
I don't know that to be true. I think that there are, in the city of Los Angeles today, 630-some thousand subscribers to cable. But
Cable modems, you mean? Or to cable television?
Cable television.
630,000?
630,000.
Households? Or individuals?
Exactly, households.
Right.
There's many more households than that in the city.
Right.
And the population is 4 million. So I can't say that every home does have that access. There are.
So what you're saying is that the city ought to put itself in the business, or put itself in the business of facilitating the provision to anyone who wants it of broadband over wireless to their home?
What the report says is the city should take a leadership role in ensuring that capabilities exist for all city residents and businesses and in all neighborhoods.
Well, what I'm trying to understand is whether or not that capability is already in place, and what role the city conceivably could play in supplementing or competing with those existing platforms for the provision of broadband to homes and businesses.
Well, I think the policymakers for the city of Los Angeles have a unique opportunity to lead the way in the deployment of fast and easy communications and advanced communications capabilities. And we're a large city and a diverse city, and different capabilities exist in different parts of the city. And I think the city's leadership role is finding what works for this neighborhood and what works for that neighborhood, because our neighborhoods are very different, and there are different cultures and different economics that are within those neighborhoods as well. And I, it was only...
Well, okay, well, where the economics, in some neighborhoods, upscale and middle income, I'd imagine, the economics are that people can afford it and get it. And I'm trying to find, and in those neighborhoods where the average income is at a point where people generally can't afford it, I'm wondering whether there's anything envisioned here that would supplement it, subsidize it for them, so that they could afford it.
There, that's one of the policy questions that's raised. Again, this report raises the policy questions. It doesn't necessarily provide all the answers that I think, Mark, that you're looking for.
Right.
The city's role, is really technological trends. It is going to continue to grow, continue to increase, and we're going to continue to be more reliant on that in our homes and in our personal lives and as we do business. And I think that was really one of the main points of this report, is the panel really rejected the do-nothing model, because the majority of the panel believes that there are gaps in providing affordable, convenient, high-speed communication services.
Okay, let me try to take this from another point of view. Were there representatives of the telephone companies and the cable companies on the panel?
Yes.
Did they have any reservations about the city getting into the business of provide or encouraging others to get into the business of providing services that compete with services that they already offer?
I don't think the models here that are included in the report are intended to compete. As I said earlier,
right,
it's to form partnerships and leverage all of the assets, both city as well as private assets, to be able to cover and provide and have convenient high-speed communication services.
Well, okay, I'm here in Valley Village, and I have DSL. I pay about
$26
a month for it. I've had a cable modem from Adelphia, which has just been taken over by Time Warner and Comcast, I can get a comparable service, maybe a little faster, for comparable amounts in the mid-20s. I would like to be able to have a Wi-Fi alternative that would cost me $10 to $15 and get the same speeds and get it from a third provider, because the duopoly that exists between the cable company and the phone company doesn't provide for much competition. Is there anything in this plan that would propose that to the policymakers and give that to them as a choice to move forward with?
There are a number of recommendations that are made in the report that go through, you know, the various models, really, because there are different models. There's retail models, like what you're talking about.
Right.
There's leveraging a procurement model where the city would provide market incentives for the development of networks by purchasing power, basically. There's a franchise model that's articulated in here, where the city would franchise or approve single physical tower networks to be built on its property, like what cable is today, basically.
Right.
There's a real estate model where the city would explicitly welcome communication infrastructure build-outs by entrepreneurs on city property, and that could be a light pole or a tower or a facility, a building, for instance. And then the other model that was considered is city-built and own infrastructure.
Okay, let me ask whether these two models are there, whether the city could declare access to broadband or the provision of broadband or the ability to use it, the actual having of it, as a essential commodity on the lines of water and electricity, which are provided for residents of the city and by the Department of Water and Power, and the infrastructure, the pipes for the water, the conduits for the electricity, are provided by DWP, and people get a bill every month. Was that considered as an option to add broadband access and to essentially leverage the existing fiber optic plant of billions of dollars worth that this DWP already has with, say, Wi-Fi repeaters throughout the city and provide that service through the DWP?
That was discussed and considered, and I think what the report ends up, you know, really articulating is let's use all the assets.
Well,
let's use all the assets we have, as well as the partnership with business. I think the franchise model, which I described earlier, there's a lot of regulatory and legal challenges that make this particular approach in this area unattractive, and
that approach is unattractive.
Because of all the regulatory and legal challenges in a franchise model, and it doesn't seem to make sense.
What about the legal and regulatory issues involved in what I've just outlined, where the DWP would attach Wi-Fi radios to its fiber optic network and provide broadband Wi-Fi cloud over the whole city that way, and offer it along with the water and power that it now offers?
Yeah, I think the person that you should talk to is a panel member that served on this panel in terms of water and power and what their capabilities are, because I'm not...
Okay.
I can't speak to that.
All right.
Anything is possible.
What, right.
Technology and operationally, I will just say today, anything is possible. But what makes the most sense, and I think what the panel came through, is really leveraging all the assets, look at LA in the big picture and all the diverse neighborhoods, and really identify what the needs are. Perhaps in one neighborhood, the library can be that wireless connection. Our pilot project at the Marvin Browdy Center and the new City Hall out in the San Fernando Valley is currently a pilot project right now with business partners in the city, providing wireless access.
But I'm wondering if the goal is to bridge the digital divide by providing the access to the internet to people who can take their laptops into Kinko's now and plug it in and get broadband access that way, and they can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. if Wi-Fi is provided at the Browdy Center or other city facilities, people are still going to have to travel to get there, and it doesn't seem that and they're not going to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'm wondering whether, if the idea is to bridge the digital divide, and part of the problem is economic, whether another alternative was considered along the lines of a bit tax, where those users who are now paying for state-of-the-art broadband capacity could be taxed, and that money could be used to subsidize people who have less, or whether something as redistributive as that was just not even considered.
You are way far down the line compared to, I think, where this report is. The report makes a number of recommendations.
Right.
Encouraging the adoption of public-private partnerships to deploy really fast and easy communications in every neighborhood. And
yes.
There's a lot of different ways of doing that depending on the neighborhood drive. Part of this is the survey that I talked about.
Right.
The other recommendation is a review of available city-owned physical assets and city rights-of-ways, including facilities, to determine all the available space that potentially could be used to construct networks. To me, that's a major effort, and the city has a lot of facilities in our 470 some square miles, and some of the other recommendations is providing all city residents fast and easy access on the net within all municipal facilities. We found in the municipal facility that we have the pilot project a quite considerable use, and in fact during the Robert Blake trial, the media was a primary user in that civic center in the San Fernando Valley and at the Marvin Browdy Center in the new City Hall.
Well, essentially, though, the basic question I'm trying to get answered and to see what this report said about it was that it seems to me that people can afford it and want it now, have broadband access in their homes, in their businesses, and they can get EVDO from Verizon and get broadband in a wide area wireless network the way they want it. If the issue is to provide the access to people who can't afford it, someone has to pay some money at some point to provide it for people who can't afford it themselves. Doesn't that have to happen or not? Am I missing something?
I think there's different ways for that to happen, and it might not be direct to the home. It might be at a library. It might be at a public gathering place, but at least allowing to help close the digital divide.
Well, is
certainly the ultimate would be that every household, every single business in the city had access, because I think we are going to be more and more dependent on information and technology via the internet.
Right, but the question is whether the model is that people in the upper income parts of the city or the moderate income parts of the city will be able to work from home or recreate from home using the internet, and poorer people will need to go to the library at what those hours are, or to the Browdy Constituent Center or to Pershing Square and make use of it. The people now, the Pershing Square is wired. People who don't have the wherewithal to get DSL or cable in their homes, I don't think they're going to buy a laptop and then travel to Pershing Square to do their whatever they're going to do, are they?
I guess it would depend on if you had business downtown and you would be in that location anyway.
Right.
You know, there's a possibility. If you need something quick and easy, and you know that that's a hotspot location, you might be going someplace else, but you might stop by. So there's a whole pyramid, I think, of different choices that we all make in terms of how we can conduct our business via the internet and what our specific needs are.
Okay.
But I do believe that the internet is going to continue to be a very powerful force in everything that we do, and grow even more than it is today. And I think that's why this is so important.
What's the political process now?
Mark, I'm sorry, but I need to go to council chambers.
Well, I guess that answers the question, what the political process is. Thanks for talking to us today on California Politics Today and Unwired LA.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your continued interest. I appreciate very much what you do and the forums that you provide to keep us all informed.
Good. Well, I appreciate your providing some of the content for that platform. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.